Good afternoon. This is Pastor Brent Witcher from Antioch Speaks on Facebook Live. I've decided to start a new type of podcast, a new type of show. I'm going to call it Revere Christian Updates. Again, my name is Brent Witcher. I'm a pastor at a small church in Woodstock. It's called Ark Family Church. I started what this is right now airing live on Antioch Speaks on Facebook, but what I want to do is transition it. This is kind of an announcement way or an advertisement of some sort that I want to, I have Revere Christian Updates on Facebook, on Twitter, on YouTube, Instagram, Truth Social, and I'm going to probably make these once a day. And I may go live here at Antioch Speaks. I may go live on Instagram, but I will definitely drop the recorded videos and the audio and stream it as a podcast, as I did with Antioch Speaks and Victory Drive Recovery with Josh. So this is just this is an idea. I'm popping out with it, and I'm going to start today. I want to do this show for more than one reason. What was really big to me and as of late has become news again and is becoming a topic again. So people, I don't think the culture understands or this current generation understands that some of the things that we're seeing and talking about today is 50 years old. We've been talking about this for a long time. So one of the things, first thing I want to do is, you know, it's also a Christian broadcast. Antioch Speaks is Christian. Revere Christian Updates is going to be Christian broadcast. Is I want to bring up this Matthew 24, verse 42. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour when you do not think he will. And I think this teaching and this understanding in a generation has been missed. I don't know why in the 70s, the 80s, and even the 90s, this was a big, big teaching. We brought out all these movies. It was taught in the church. It was taught in families. My grandparents used to talk about it when I was young. And it was, you know, the end times, so to speak. Biblical precedent for end times, what would be going on internationally in other countries was something talked about that seems to be greatly missed today. And I one of the things that may be is because 1999, Y2K, 2012, and just all of the false end of the world topics, I think maybe caused us to get lulled to sleep on this. Obviously COVID-19 was not the Armageddon and things like that. So maybe that's why we don't teach it anymore. I don't know. I want to do this too. In Isaiah 62:6, on your walls, O Jerusalem, I have appointed watchmen all day and all night. They will never keep silent. You who remind the Lord, take no rest for yourselves. This is an idea to make available online 24 hours a day that someone is saying it, and we can use it to share it or whatever. You know, it's just not something that gets said a lot. Is, you know, what's to expect in the 80s and 90s? If a person were to tell you that the whole world would turn against Israel, you wouldn't believe it. If a person was going to tell you that Christianity wouldn't be a mainstream thing in the 80s and 90s, you wouldn't believe it. But lately, in this day and age, you will see people are citing against Israel at a lot bigger masses than we've seen in our history. And then people also are siding on the side of Muslim nations and looking at the Christian world as the aggressor, as the problem. And this is something that I think everybody who's a Christian should know is coming. It shouldn't catch you by surprise. And it's something that was taught in the 80s. In the 80s, if you saw every nation or you started to realize a lot of people were going to protest and come against the side of Israel, they would call that a sign of Jesus coming back. But today, it's not that widespread known. In fact, a lot of people don't even trust what the Bible says today. Here's another thing is I want to point out how we can intercede for other believers in the world in prayer as Christians. So it's a Christian show. It's for Christians. I am going to talk about topics that are going on. I'll probably read the Bible a lot. I'll probably pray. It'll be different things, but that's the expectation. To be the hands and feet of Christ, right? To move as his body is another goal or objective to do this show and do this broadcast. And then, of course, just like when you read the Old Testament, if you put together, and I want to talk about this in a second as well, but if you put together a group of men and women, Christians, maybe serving God for 30, 40 years, maybe serving God for just 10 or 15 years, but you put together a group of Christians and said, let's read the Bible together. Let's join on one accord and do a thing together. When you're going through what is called the Torah, with Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Leviticus, when you're going through those books, you will see a struggle, especially with some newer believers, of reading the same thing over and over again, getting just completely inundated with the same information over and over again being repeated. One thing about the generations in that Old Testament is they weren't doing that. The generations, two and three generations later, didn't know what Moses and God did, didn't know about freeing the Jews from Egypt, didn't know some of the laws of God, some of the ideas of God. So this kind of stuff had to be taught over and over and over again. And that's why the Old Testament is like that. You have to teach the things in the Old Testament over and over again for generations. And so I would hope that this show serves something as that too, is this generation who does not have that foundation of Christian teaching that some of us were getting in the 80s and 90s, right? Parents of this generation and grandparents of this generation that may not be interceding and praying for their children, this is an inspiration and an encouragement for us to teach the kids. Hopefully you could share some of these videos and send them out, or just you listen to me and maybe I'll inspire you to pray for your kids today, or just to stop them and talk to them about, you know, if your kids don't know about the two witnesses according to the Bible, they should. You know, if you're a Christian like I am, this is something that should be talked about. Pre-trib, current trib, post-trib rapture. This is something that should be talked about. And I get it. The peace, love, and grace of Jesus Christ is the gospel. And it should attract people to Christ and a relationship with Christ and a relationship to his body and to a fellowship of believers. We should definitely teach that Christ come to forgive you, that you don't have to change first, that Christ is going to change you from the inside out, and that heaven is our hope, and to be with him for eternity is our hope. But there are also some details here, because in Matthew 24, Jesus does allude to even some of us Christians being being confused, being led astray, being taught something different than the original gospel. Peter, Paul, John, they all knew of this and warned of the idea that someone may come along and teach you something different. And today, I think We're probably seeing that at a mass scale, that other things are being taught than the truth about Christ returning. You know, he's no longer dead on a cross, right? And we see him as resurrected from the grave. And we talked about Jesus being resurrected from the grave. And we talk about him as someone who's not in the room. We literally talk about Jesus as someone who came and did a magical thing and now is somewhere else. But the truth is, they watched him in Acts rise into the heavens, and he's seated at the right hand of God. His Spirit is available for teaching you. The Bible says the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, teaching you, helping you to discern. And I hope that you can use this as a tool to teach this generation to share and to be inspired and encouraged with everything that's going on. Having that said, as we, I'm sure, all know, a lot of stuff is taking place as I was getting prepared to attempt to work on this show and move forward with this show. And one of the things that I would say happened, and I'm going to share this with you, if you go to YouTube at Revere Christian Updates, you'll see an episode where I had a dream about communion that I shared, and I never continued because I was trying to get my scruples with this, with doing this show. What happened is I had a dream about communion, and when I woke up from the dream and was pondering, did I just eat too late? Was that weird? What was that about? The Pope died. In that same week that the Pope died, a interesting person came out and started talking about being the true Pope and mixing the Torah with the Quran. And he's very good at what he's doing with that. He's gaining a following of some sort. Also, you see what is going on, Ukraine and Russia. And if you go, and we're going to clip some of this week, of Tucker Carlson speaking to Vladimir Putin during Biden's administration, when Putin would not speak with Biden, he chose to speak with Tucker Carlson. I'm also going to point out Elon Musk's conversations with Tucker Carlson. I may grab some clips from, you know, Joe Rogan and other places like this, just to point out a few key things to the world or whoever that you can use and talk about. But one of those things is Russia believes it's an Orthodox Christian nation, which is interesting and should be looked into. Ukraine, I remember when Russia first invaded Ukraine during the Biden administration, that there was reports that people that were being pushed out into Poland, I believe, were actually coming out of Ukraine preaching the gospel, meaning Ukraine has a good bit of Christians in it as well. And then you know the Chinese just angst about what China wants to do. Are they going to invade Taiwan and different things with them? And then, of course, you have Israel and the Palestinian situation, which I believe Hezbollah, Hamas, the Taliban, I believe they're all funded by the Iranian government, which is what we'll get into a little bit today. So that's where I want to start. These conversations, 50 years in the making, these conversations go all the way back to the 1970s. So tonight, I want to start a foundation today with this, just really quick. I want to show a few things about the 70s, and then we'll go from there maybe tomorrow or something. I'm not going to have time to reach all of the points I'm trying to make, but I do want to make a point today. The end times preaching was heavy in the 70s. Tomorrow, I'm going to show some things that the end times, there was movies made in the 70s, 80s, and 90s. I'm going to show clips from some of those. I'm going to talk about the pastors like Rod Parsley who were involved in preaching this kind of stuff, and probably even John Hagee. He has a whole thing, and I'm going to show some of these things, right? I'm going to unfold this, that what we're dealing with today in 2025, after COVID-19, after some of the craziest elections. I mean, if you voted for Donald Trump in against Hillary Clinton, if you voted for Donald Trump against Joe Biden, and you voted for Donald Trump against Kamala Harris, you voted for the same guy three times at the end of a 12-year period. That's crazy for that. But is it even abnormal for America? Probably not. So we're going to check things out. Also, as I go through historical things and I show clips of the 1970s, 1980s, 1990s, denying that some of this stuff is true is equal to denying that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin mother. This stuff is, Nixon really did exist. So let me start with that. I'm going to start with an American president. His name was Nixon. And we're going to start with some situations with him as he left office and some things like that, and just kind of talk about it and explore it.
I have never been a quitter. To leave office before my term is completed is abhorrent to every instinct in my body. But as president, I must put the interests of America first. America needs a full-time president and a full-time Congress, particularly at this time with problems we face at home and abroad. To continue to fight through the months ahead for my personal vindication would almost totally absorb the time and attention of both the president and the Congress in a period when our entire focus should be on the great issues of peace abroad and prosperity without inflation at home. Therefore, I shall resign the presidency effective at noon tomorrow. Vice President Ford will be sworn in as president at that hour in this office.
And that brought in President Ford in the 1970, 73, 74, and 75, which I'm going to go into Ford for a second. But understand what Nixon is saying is, I have to resign from this scandal that is Watergate because I can't work with Congress in this type of atmosphere with all this going on and still deal with what's going on abroad. We cannot look at the Palestinian matter in Israel. We cannot look at Iran and all of the other situations as something brand new. This has been going on. And I believe in a lot of Christian circles, this is prophetic in a way that this is supposed to happen. Some Christians get very excited at this type of stuff because it confirms what Christ told us and it confirms prophecies. Some Christians misunderstand what's going on, and some are very new. If you walk around the Western Christian church right now, and that, you know, I was talking to someone yesterday, and I don't know if the stats have changed overnight or in the last week, but Christianity is the leading religion of the world. 2.7 billion professing Christians on the planet. 2.4 billion professing Muslims. So you have that's your major major religions, right? Then you have Judaism, Hinduism, Buddhism. But these are your major. Your top three are going to be Christian, Muslim, and Judaism. These three religions ultimately serve the same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Ishmael. This is the same deal here, though the literature is much different. And as a Western American Christian, we have 66 books and a Holy Bible. But if you are a Muslim, you have the Quran and then you have other literature. It's not all packaged together like our Holy Bible is. And then, of course, Christians, Protestants have sprouted out into different denominations. And then you have the Mormons and Jehovah's Witness and et cetera. But when you look at this the whole situation with religions in the world and the things that are going on, none of this stuff is new. But it feels like news to the Western Christians because they're being taught the peace, grace, and love of Christ all the time. I was watching something that was criticizing a pastor that I love dearly and I think is amazing, but his church is focused on evangelism, so they don't really get deep into some of the other philosophies and the conversations that you could have in the Old Testament and Daniel, or the New Testament and Revelation, and things like this. They really just focus on you finding Christ and... you know, it's a you-based type of ministry. There's nothing wrong with it in my mind, but you could serve something like that or be plugged into something like that for 20 years and not really grow that much in expectation and discernment of things to come. If that makes any kind of sense at all, what I'm trying to say here is we need to be teaching a generation of Christians that there is more to this, that Christ ascended into heaven, that the Holy Spirit is available and gives us power to walk out of certain habits, certain negative things in life. The Holy Spirit is there to comfort us, to mourn with us, to love on us. There's a lot more to it than just that. And then of ultimately the end times and the teachers that are going to come who teach specifically to you, not that there's no change, that there's no pain, that once you become a Christian, everything's going to be great. These are the scary places we want to be afraid of. Also, when the Protestants, and you know, we can get into this or whatever, but when Protestants dumb down the reverence, and I truly believe Christ came to this earth as a human being, not so he could be more, so that God could be more like humans, but that we could be more like God. I do believe the transition, the change there, was meant for us to change from glory to glory, more into the image of God than it is for God to change into the image of us, as some Protestant churches are teaching these things in the Western American culture, is to just be comfortable and awesome. And I'll tell you, if you're teaching pre-trib rapture in America, it sounds like, hey, there's going to be hard times. There's going to be persecution of Christians, but we're going to be gone before that. But that's a hard thing to teach to Christians in other countries. So that's one of the things that we, you know, want to focus on and talk about. This next thing that I'm going to go as we grow is point out when President Ford took over after Nixon. I'm just going to jump into a few things about that.
Finally, I feel that Richard Nixon and his loved ones have suffered enough and will continue to suffer no matter what I do, no matter what we as a great and good nation can do together to make his goal of peace come true. Now, therefore, I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, pursuant to the pardon power conferred upon me by Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, have granted, and by these presents do grant, a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon for all offenses against the United States which he, Richard Nixon, has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from July 20, 1969 through August 9, 1974.
I want to point that out, as these pardoning and these party things is not new at all. And I'm going to transfer now, and before I end the show, and I'm going to wrap up the show after this segment. And I'll just come back on tomorrow with something else. If you enjoyed this, comment. If you didn't, if you have criticism, if you want to tell me how to change something about the show, I don't know. If whatever, share this, whatever your thoughts are, I will definitely look at whatever your thoughts on the things I said, and use them on tomorrow's show and as I grow. But I want to point out the president that came in after Nixon, Ford, and then this is just to lay a foundation of where we are and where we're going. And and just say, like, none of this stuff is new. We act like Trump is the newest to do these things. He's not. These next two clips that I'm going to play, or the next clip I'm going to play, should outline for you some key words. I want you to hear some key words, and I want to point out some things about politics and how I think they line up with Christianity in the world and what's going on around us. Again, when these men were dealing with Watergate and the issues abroad and the Middle East and things like this, they never in a million years would have believed that an American college would wave a Iranian flag or be pro-Palestine. I mean, it's just was not imaginable in those decades. And today it's very likely that you're watching now and you think what Trump is doing and America is doing is wrong and they shouldn't bomb Iran. And you might think that the Palestinians are victims of Israel. I mean, very many Americans seem to say some really borderline anti-Semitic comments. In fact, I have a good friend in the church who believes the whole American Protestant church is anti-Semitic, as well as the Catholics. And again, as we unfold this show and have more time as the days to come, I'm going to dive into this. So comment on it, say whatever you want. I would like to do this in 74, 75, 76. These two men campaigned, Ford and Carter. This is a campaign. I want you to listen to some keywords that are in this conversation.
Something has propelled Jimmy Carter, peanut farmer and former governor of Georgia, out of the overcrowded pack of Democratic hopefuls, and it seems to be this. Jimmy Carter knows and uses all the tricks of the campaign trade. His smile is his trademark. He smiles and shakes hands endlessly. If there's a vote to be got, Jimmy Carter goes for it hard, even if it means recruiting 5- and 6-year-olds.
How many of you have mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers who are over 18 years old? Okay. How many of you have neighbors who are over 18 years old? Okay. How many of you got friends who are over 18 years old? Okay. Now, see, if you ask all those people to vote for me, even though you can't vote, you could get me maybe 20 votes. You got your mother and your father and your aunts and uncles and grandmamas and grandfathers and neighbors and friends to vote for me. You could get me more votes than an adult, couldn't you? Would you try to do that for me? I really would appreciate it. And then when I get elected, you can come to see me in the White House.
But with front-runner status has come increased scrutiny, and his opponents and the all-powerful political columnists here think they detect an all-things-to-all-men weakness in Jimmy Carter. He admires Henry Kissinger, they point out, then says that Kissinger doesn't trust Americans enough. He wants controls on handguns, but not on shotguns and rifles, and so on. Is it intentional, I asked him.
Well, there is a different way to interpret that. I think my stance on civil rights, environmental equality, human rights is a very liberal stance, and that's what's most important to liberal voters. My ability to manage the affairs of government in a tough, competent, conservative, business-like way appeals to conservatives. My farm background, agriculture, would give me a conservative image. My record on civil rights in Georgia during the integration years is quite liberal, but I don't think there's any incompatibility between the demonstrated capacity for management of government and my deep concern about human needs. To me, there's no incompatibility.
A charmer, most people agree, but a genuine middle-of-the-roader or a do-anything-for-a-vote compromiser. About that, many Americans are not at all sure. Michael Brunson, Palm Beach, Florida.
So I argumentatively, people have said Carter is one of the worst presidents that America ever had. And I don't know, you know, when he passed, a lot of people were really touched by him. He touched a lot of Americans' lives and was super, super great guy. What I wanted to point out to you is, number one, the shameless plug to talk to children and tell them that they could get other adults to vote for them even more than some adults. And then to make the statement, after I win, you children I'm speaking to can come visit me in the White House, which is probably not going to happen, right? And then that is a campaign promise. And then he goes on to speak about gun rights, or the commentator did. And Carter calls himself a liberal guy when at the time you're trying to get enough votes from the independent voter or the leaning voter. So you're campaigning, total liberal guy, Carter, and we'll delve into this more. But when he was running, he wanted to example some right-leaning ideas or ideals so that he could get some independent votes or left-leaning votes out of people. It's an interesting thing. The next 4 years of his presidency is going to involve the Shah and Iran switching to the Ayatollah. This is something I want to cover tomorrow. I want to talk more about as we lay a foundation that Trump is a conservative guy. People want to act like Trump has his own party because he does have some pro-choice views. He has some liberal ideas in some areas, gun control. Trump can lean a little bit liberal, and they act like he's a live wire and a madman. But he really did say some of the things that conservatives should have been saying for a long time during all three of his campaigns. And the actions he's taking are actions that left-leaning conservatives would have taken, right-leaning liberals would take. And so to know 50 years, you know, I was talking to someone about struggling in relationships with other people. When you are in a situation where somebody's headstrong about a topic or about a protestation, something that they're very, very against, if you aren't on the other side per se, if you're not exactly arguing with that point, you're not going to have the energy and resources to keep up with that person. That person is on a mission. Any pro-life or pro-LGBTQ or pro-black and white type of ideal, black and white type of stance is going to every day, like Greta Van Susteren the young girl who did the anti-climate change stuff, that's what she's going to be doing all the time. So if you have a wide view, if you're thinking about many different things, combating her daily, weekly, monthly is going to be a challenge for you because she's going to have all her resources and focus on that. And that's how pro any topic, pro-Palestine, pro-Iran, pro-whatever, any topic like that is going to be, and it's very hard to fight things all the way through. And I'm going to tell you, Iran and the Ayatollah have been anti-America for 50 years. So rather you're liberal or you're conservative, you liked Kamala or Hillary Clinton had a conversation or was on record talking about what she would do to deal with it. This is something that is not going away. It's not going anywhere. And that's politics, right? That's American Western world politics. And then when it comes to religious prophecy, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or Jew, it is religious as well. So that's how I'm going to end it today. If you've enjoyed it, if you've watched it, share it, talk about it, visit the YouTube, the Twitter, things like that. Follow Revere Christian Updates on Instagram, Twitter, Truth Social, YouTube, Rumble. It's all the beginnings of this. So to support me by sharing and conversing about it, but comment so I can read your comments and tell me what you think. And have a blessed, wonderful day. Super excited.